From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today, the conclusion of our interview with analyst Mark Sloboda in Moscow about this past weekend's elections for Russia's parliament. Well, Mark, welcome back. We had to cut it yesterday because of the time limit, but we really didn't get to the heart of the matter. So let's pick up where we left off. We were kind of painting the four corners of how the election was conducted. I think the last thing we discussed was how your wife, Lena, had, that was a member of the Communist Party, had worked as an election official, basically, as a Communist Party member from time to time, and so has observed and is familiar with the operation of the election process. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, so some basic security. You have to have a mask right now because of coronavirus to get in. You go, you show your passport. All Russians have a passport. They have a domestic passport and a foreign passport. So, and you're registered according to where you live. You do not have to register to vote in this country. You are automatically registered. And if you're outside the country, you can go to any embassy and vote. So you don't have to go through this registration rigmarole. You go up to vote. There's generally not much of a line. I've ever had to wait at all. I had to wait for my wife, who was in front of me this time. There are cameras above the voting. Often it's a transparent glass ballot box where you put your ballot in, and there's a camera above that in every single voting station. Right. And the cameras are open. They're on the internet, and anyone can and does watch them to monitor the elections, right? You can monitor the elections in your own individual voting station or anyone around the country. So that's pretty transparent when it comes to that. Now,
so you can audit, let me just say, so you can basically, I can audit the, what do you call it, the turnout at a particular box. I can sit there and count one, two, three. So when they count the ballots, if I saw 103 people vote, if they come out with 106 ballots, somebody stuffed the ballot box. If they come out short, somebody clipped it.
Now, this isn't universal across the country because it's new tech. But in my voting station, the last two elections, I'm in Moscow, there was an innovation. You fill out a paper ballot that has electronic coding on it. You fill that out and you drop it into a machine, almost like reverse printing, printing on two sides or something. And it slides through and it scans it, and it electronically tabulates the vote.
That's what
so
I have.
It's basically combined digital plus paper trace.
Paper for audit purposes.
And that's it. And my ballot, I'll tell you, there were 14 parties on the party list vote. There was liberal parties. There was nationalist parties. There was two communist parties. There were several other leftist parties. There was a neoliberal party. There was
Greens.
United Russia. Yeah, there are two green parties, There's lots of ideological spectrum to vote for. The only thing you could not find on that ballot list was openly Western asset, far-right, ultra-nationalist, fraudster, Navalny. That's the only thing. I saw an article on AFP that said most critics of the of President Putin were barred from the election. What nonsense! What complete disinformation! All of those parties, all of those other 13 parties, and numerous individuals on the individual mandate disagreed with the government on domestic policies, some of them on foreign policy, some of them on political ideology. But none of them are open Western assets. It's ridiculous. And like I said, I will always consider voting for the communists because I lean leftish. My wife is a communist, I will assess on individual merit. And I'll tell you what, I like the idea of the communists doing better in the election without winning.
They certainly keep they moderate United Russia. Yeah, moderate the billionaires.
They moderate
activity.
United Russia. They argue for more social benefits in the Duma. They act for a check on power, but they're not going to overtly change Russian foreign policy. In fact, they might have a more aggressive, more hawkish stance on Russian national security interests than United Russia does.
Yeah.
But I don't think they've been out of power for 30 years. Their party, Zhuganov, is an old dinosaur
who has
been around since
Gorbachev.
The first free elections in Russia, since 92. I think he needs to retire. I think that will vastly improve the party once he finally does. He probably should have won in the 96 election against Yeltsin if it wasn't rigged, with U.S. help. But his day has passed and he really needs to step down.
Let me point out something here, just real quickly. What you're saying about the communists acting as at least a check against some of the more excesses, that's the same role many historians say that the Soviet Union played, particularly in bringing FDR, for example, into office in 1932 instead of perhaps a more rightward path for the United States.
The 9-to-5 working day, which has pretty much become extinct since the Soviet Union collapsed.
Women's suffrage, a whole bunch of other things.
Workers' rights issues and so on. Yeah. So that's kind of the idea of voting for them. I don't think they're mature enough to run foreign policy today. I think that the Communist Party of the Russian Federation has changed since the Soviet Union. For one, they're pro-religious. Particularly but not exclusively Orthodox.
Right.
They tend to be populist on a lot of issues, and some of that does not appeal to me. So, again, I judge more on individual person often in the party.
Right.
I voted this time for the party list and the individual mandate for United Russia, United Russia and the United Russia candidate. In my area, the candidate was Roman Romanenko. He's a former cosmonaut, pretty young guy.
No kidding.
50. The big issues that appealed to me were he's for preserving the forest reserve that I live right outside. He's big on ecological issues.
I've been there.
Which was a big local issue for me.
Yeah,
you've been here. You've seen it, right?
I walked in it. Yeah.
There's people, again, a cross-party thing, pro-business that wants to change the status and start developing parts of that. He's against that. So it was a big issue for me.
Right.
He's also big on workers' issues because I live in what is essentially a blue-collar area.
Right.
I generally like the candidate, so I happen to vote for him. I felt the communists needed to be punished this time because there was a lot of crazy anti-vaxxer sentiment coming out of the communists when Russia has one of the best, if not the best, vaccine in the world. And since when have communists ever been anti-vaccine? Right. I mean, like, when was the Soviet Union? I mean, in the Soviet Union, you got so many vaccines, a lot more than in the United States. So I don't really understand that. I think it's fatally stupid on a personal assessment level. I thought they needed to be punished for that. My wife did as well. She is a communist who generally votes for Putin for president because she thinks that he's best to handle foreign and military policy, and she's from the Crimea, and he helped to bring the Crimea back in.
Right.
But she'll generally vote for the communists in the Duma elections.
Right.
For the increased social benefits and so on, because she is very Soviet nostalgic, in terms of social life, if you will.
Right, gotcha.
Morals and so on. And
the general tenor of society was different now than it was then. Yes.
But she voted for United Russia on both the party list and the individual mandate this time for pretty much the same reasons. She also liked this candidate. Green issues are also very important to her. And she was really angry at this anti-vaxxer sentiment. So that was a shift from against some of the popular opinion in the country right now, the general trend of from United Russia's to KPRF, she was a KPRF voter to United Russia for the Duma elections. We talked about it. We looked at the candidates. We sat down for a few hours, you know, and we were happy to go vote together. And, it was a generally above the board, affair for us. Now, there are accusations there's all kinds of accusations that the whole elections are rigged. One thing that you'll see pushed at you in the Western media is ballot stuffing. Okay, ballot stuffing is really almost impossible in Russia to get away with it when it happens because it's all right in front of a camera. And in a lot of parts of the countries, they still use these transparent glass boxes. Right. And there were 12 incidences, local, small-scale incidences of ballot stuffing that were caught on camera. Each one of those, all of the votes in those boxes have been annulled as a result by the Central Election Commission and the people from that voting station fired. Some criminal charges will likely be pressed.
Right.
It seems that a number of those, in my opinion, when it's all done and said, a majority will probably be provocations that are meant to sabotage and make the elections bad. A few of them are probably where there were local elections out in the regions, well beyond Moscow,
overzealous locals.
Either overzealous or some local. There's a local election, and he wanted to make sure he won that
Crooked local dude.
But they're all going to pay for it. They've been identified. All those votes have been annulled. In all, some 8,000 votes across the country have been annulled because of this type of cases. So when they have accusations of ballot stuffing, they were caught. They were on camera. It's hard to do without camera. Another incident, someone put a mop partially blocking the view of one of the voting stations at one of a small voting station on the outskirts of Moscow. Same thing was done in that case. Anyone in that voting station was fired. All the votes had to be annulled because that mop was partially obscuring the view and they don't know what could have happened. That is how tight it is. Now, there is a quote-unquote independent voting organization, a vote monitoring organization called GOLIS or Voice. Now, when I say independent, what they call them in the Western press, that means funded by the U.S. State Department.
Right.
The National Endowment for Democracy, previously the CIA, you know all that.
Yeah, right.
And their job during these elections is to they have been declared a foreign agent right now, which means that they have to identify that they are paid by the U.S. State Department, but they're still allowed to conduct some business in the country.
Right.
And their job is to make the elections, to make people doubt the elections, the quote-unquote attack on democracy.
Right.
Now, my wife, in around the 2011-2012 year, when liberals were a little bit resurgent and there were some protests against Putin and there were accusations that the elections were fraudulent, she was, kind of like, well, I want to find out. Maybe there's something there. I want to assess it myself. So she joined one of these foreign-funded election monitor organizations, which was Citizen Observer, Grazhdanina Bludato, which was a sister org of GOLIS, meaning they used all the same State Department material that was handed to them and everything.
Right.
And she was told, by their director, they're all, friends around there, they all, happily giggle about the same things. It's all pure pro-Western liberals and these things, right? It's not like, my wife was really the oddball out and didn't mention that she was a communist.
Right.
All their funding comes from, at the time, it came from anonymous, regular, large number of anonymous micro payments from our friends across the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
And this is the way they did it in her little group. They all got together during the election. They were all there and they were, challenging the people running the election. My wife later become one of these actual election supervisors, the officials who handle the election. They were challenging them at every court, often not knowing what they were doing or not understanding why things were done, and generally making annoying pests of themselves. Obstruction, interference. Right. And then after the election, they couldn't they knew the election must have been rigged because none of their liberal friends voted for Putin. But Putin won, right? So they couldn't observe any actual how it was done.
Right.
How could the election have been that high for Putin when none of my friends, right? But they couldn't identify anything. So they sat down in a room and they brainstormed about how it could have been done. And that's what they wrote happened in the report.
Oh my God.
This is, of course, the way things are normally done. Now, in Dennis last in the week before the election, we have another video out of one of these goalless election monitor meetings where she explained that the elections are all completely rigged before the election, right? The election is obviously going to be fake and false. But it's getting really hard to assert that because there's no violations that they can record anymore. The elections are so transparent now. So she explained on camera that their job, they were going to instruct each election monitor how to create a provocation to get kicked out of their voting stations. So that then they could declare election infractions because a monitor was kicked out of a voting station, and that's what they would use, you know, to justify, you know, the Russian elections, you know, were bad.
You know, let me just say this. I don't know if you've ever been involved in elections in the United States. I've run for office a half dozen times, and always as, you know, a serious insurgent, not brokering my way onto the ballot. You know, look, if you let me be your candidate, I'll, you know, approve this project. None of that nonsense. Carrying petitions, running against things that looked ugly that were about to happen in my village and my county, like that, and in the congressional district. And having routinely an automatic response from the institution challenging the petitions to get on the ballot, litigating, having it removed by functionaries who, you know, for ridiculous hyper-technical violations, and some of them not even factually true, most of them. That's routine part of politics in the United States at the municipal level, you know, at the atomic level. That's how the whole thing above it is constructed. It rests on that. A few very powerful people gatekeep who gets to run, and that is parceled out based on the behavior of American voters, which is that 80% of them vote for the party they're enrolled in down the line. And so if you're in a place where the enrollment for Democrats is 60% and Republicans 40%, whoever decides who the Democratic candidate is essentially hiring the mayor and village board members, the county executive, the people who will appoint the members of Board of Elections who will pass on this, the judges, all of that. And that is replicated in the next town where if the Republicans have a 60-40 majority, somebody brokers that. And when you go to the county level, you find out that those two people are law partners. And they parcel out the contracts at the county level.
When I was first came to Russia, I was head of Democrats Abroad Russia. The if you don't know, Democrats Abroad for the Democratic Party in the U.S., they're abroad in each country has an abroad chapter. And they're actually an official part of the chapter, meaning they get to vote in elections, and you know, they supposedly have a say in the Democratic Party, unlike the equivalent Republicans abroad. They don't have an official, that has a say in the Republican National Committee and so on. And I did that for a few years, and I worked with the U.S. Embassy here to get Americans registered to vote. You know, when elections came around, of course, it was I helped the back then. I don't know how much it's changed now. I don't think it's actually changed that much, but it was really, really hard to register to vote abroad because, of course, you had to register and then you also had to send out your ballot.
Right.
And the rules were different for every single state on how to do right. this abroad. All different ways to fill out the form, which was a ridiculously long and complicated form. Yeah, yeah. You had to do it months and ahead of time because it had to be mailed by, you know, from your country to there and then get a accepted and then get a ballot sent back to you and then you mailed it back before the election was over. It's ridiculous.
It's very impossible,
hard. But I did it for Republicans, Democrats, whoever voted, right? But and then, you know, I was actually voted in as abroad vice president of what was then the Progressive Caucus of Democrats Abroad.
cool.
And yeah, well, it didn't really mean much.
Probably weren't many of you either.
Yeah, once I got to see inside the Democratic Party, I was so disgusted by the corruption there, right?
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not a Republican on really any issue. So I'm even, of course, even more disgusted with them.
Yeah.
But I just washed my hands of American.
Yeah, the Democrats are corrupt. The solution is not. I'm against abortion or whatever.
Yeah. It's like, if I actually believed in U.S. elections anymore, and I don't, and I don't feel like an American, so I choose, even though I technically have dual citizen, not to vote. If I did, it would be for Jill Stein or, you know,
One of the communists.
I would vote Green probably in the U.S. But back to the Russian election. One of the other challenges that is now being made is coming out of the Communist Party. And that is that the electronic voting, which it turns out it's going to be about half of the votes in the country, particularly in the Moscow region, were done electronically this time because of COVID, because it's simply much more convenient. They've got a pretty good system set up for it. I didn't use it myself because I like the ritual, and my voting office is just 3-minute walk from my house.
Right.
But now they are claiming that before the electronic votes were factored in a number of seats in Moscow, only in Moscow, that they would have won the vote. But once the electronic votes were counted in, which was half the vote, they lost significantly. And they're saying, you know, the change in the voting pattern is proof that there is fraud. And they're challenging it. They're demanding, they're considering protests. They're demanding an investigation. Now, just to say, I have nothing against the communists. My wife, you know, volunteers works for KPRF. I have nothing.
Right.
I think I would be – I voted against them this time, again, largely because of the anti-vaxxer stuff. But I would always consider voting for them, you know, on an individual assessment basis. And I think I would like not only for United Russia to lose their supermajority.
Right.
I would like them to lose their majority.
Have to broker.
So they had to form a coalition government with the communists.
Right.
And then the communists would be have to assume some ministerial positions
and responsibility.
Work as junior partners, responsibilities,
right.
and basically training wheels
right.
to bring to them govern. Up to speed to running foreign policy and things again.
Yep.
I would love that scenario, right?
That's
again,
an interesting
I chose to vote for United Russia this time for reasons, but I'm not against the Communist Party. So you know, forget that. They really have no basis to make these claims here.
Right.
Now, I don't know. The technology is involved. Supposedly, the vote is all protected by blockchain, and there's all independent assessments that this system is secure and everything. But you know, there's always conspiracy theories and questions about black box voting.
Yep.
You know, whether it's in Russia or in the United States.
And there are also always actual conspiracies, too. People are crooked as hell. I mean, let's be clear about that. Everywhere, that's true too.
Yeah. But I don't think that this is a big problem. First of all, they're only challenging it in Moscow because they did well in Siberia.
Everywhere else.
They did well out in the Far East. They don't want those
Don't challenge
regions,
that.
They don't want any closer inspections of the elections out there.
Right.
They only want to challenge it in Moscow. And now let me tell you something. The communists don't do their greatest in Moscow because it's not a very leftist city. Again, there's the liberals have more support here. United Russia has considerable support here as well. But the communists generally poll much better in the east than they do in the West.
Let's be clear also, from a Marxist perspective, there's a class dimension to this. The people in Moscow are the richest people in the country, and so they're the least likely to want to socialize wealth because they have a larger share of it.
It's like comparing New York to the Midwest.
Yeah, right.
You know, there's a big economic a factor there that plays into how people vote demographically. And I completely understand that. Like I said, I don't have anything against the communists. I often consider voting for them.
And also people in Russia have a much better political education than they do in the United States. And so they're more likely to vote on in their own interests with a real correlation.
Yeah. But here's the – the big thing is this electronic voting, though. Why did the electronic vote swing so much higher for United Russia than it did for the communists? Okay, well, first of all, the communists do have more older voters, who aren't as proficient as doing things online.
You can't electronically vote with an abacus.
Well, I mean – you know, there are people to help. And in Russia, you know, if you're disabled, old person or something, the election people actually come to your house to help you vote. So, but the United Russia encouraged their voters to vote online, to vote early and vote online. Remember, the election was 3 days this time. Because of the coronavirus and everything. And Putin himself voted online and made a big deal out of it because he's in supposedly isolation right now because some people close to him, some staffers, tested positive for coronavirus. And the mayor of Moscow voted online, who is also United Russia, Sobyanin. So that's a big public, you know, vote of confidence from the party. The communists, meanwhile, and most of the other opposition parties – again, they're usually not considered opposition parties in the West, except when it's convenient because they're not pro-Western. Now suddenly they're legitimate again because, you know, the Western press wants United Russia, Putin's party, to do bad.
Right.
But the communists told their voters not to vote
electronically.
Electronically, because again, you know, they cast. Do you trust the system? Do you not? People who trust the system generally tend to be United Russia voters, you know, still the majority of the country electorally, and are happy to participate that way. The communists specifically told their people, which are older voters anyway, there's some young ones, the new young vanguard corps and everything, but they told them not to.
Right.
So when there's a 15 to 20 point change in the voting pattern in favor of United Russia, there are actually good real reasons for that because the communists told their own people not to vote that way and instead go to the poll on the last day on Sunday.
I understand.
So I don't think, you know, I'll take a look at these accusations, but the elections match up within 2 or 3 percentage points with the pre-election polling, with the exit polling, and I expect the final polling to be there. So I don't have any reasons to question these elections, even though, you know, I'm very sympathetic to the communists in general.
Right.
And I certainly don't believe, you know, the smart voting nonsense or these U.S. government funded election monitors, Golos and so on. I think these elections are just as fair, at least on a total basis, as elections in the U.S., if not more fair and certainly much easier.
And we got to stop it there.
Lines,
and we got to stop here because we're out of time.
One last word. And you took me.
Sorry about that. So, I mean, and this one last thing I want to point out that the case you just laid out is essentially the same case that people who hold that Trump won the election in 2020 make, which is that there was this big deluge of electronic votes that came in at the end.
Mail votes, electronic and mail,
actually, that were outside of the old process, new method votes that came in and changed the outcomes in key swing states. And that was not even entertained in the Western media as a possibility, but rather as a delusion created by conspiracy theorists. We got to stop here because we are completely out of time. Mark, thank you so much again.
Thanks for having me, Don.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.